Good morning. I'd like to thank everybody for coming from far and wide, Hollywood, Miami Beach, everything in between. I'd also like to thank the presence of a couple doctors here, as we hope to get into medical issues and pain, which sometimes associated with it. Today is the 10th Yahrzeit of Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, the Rosh Yeshiva, the Meir Yeshiva, famous Rosh Yeshiva, he grew up in America, grew up in Chicago, and rose to fame as leading a yeshiva which only had a mere 1,500 students when he took the helm in 1990, but by the time he was nifter, that number swelled to way over 6,000, 7,000 talmidim. And it's still to this day, the Meir Yeshiva, Baruch Hashem, is the largest yeshiva in the world. And the story itself, if you just stop there and talk about Rav Nosson Tzvi, how a nice American kid who showed up for the first time in the Meir at 14 wearing a Cubs baseball cap, how he grew yeshiva to be such a huge Makom Torah. But what's also quite amazing, and it makes the whole story take on a different level, is that Rav Nosson Tzvi was stricken with Parkinson's disease for most of the second half of his life. I myself, though I never was officially a Talmud in the Meir, I'm a Talmud of Rav Nosson Tzvi. And I had the schus of going to a shir every Friday for 2 years. I used to go, I used to set up for the shir. Some weeks, Rebbetzin would give us potato kugel. I would sit right across from Rav Nosson Tzvi, a seat at the table. And I, Baruch Hashem, had quite a strong kesher with him. So much so, the last time I saw Rav Nosson Tzvi, he came to America after 2000. And was about to start dating. I wanted the bracha from him before I started. So I remember it was a snowy night in New York. He was staying in Borough Park. Took a bus from my house in Flatbush to Borough Park. Got off the B11, 47th Street. Had to walk to like 55th, 56th, somewhere over there. And there was snow literally almost up to my kneecaps. But I remember trudging in the snow to go see Rav Nosson Tzvi. What was amazing, what I saw in my days, Baruch Hashem, in my days, Rav Nosson Tzvi was, he walked. Later years, he was limited very much to a wheelchair. But he walked, but he couldn't walk straight. He would very strongly waver as he was walking. When you would watch him, you'd be afraid that he'd fall over. When he spoke, sometimes he was able to speak. Everything looked okay, but many times his body, due to Parkinson's disease, would violently shake, and he'd literally hold on to himself to try to hold himself back from shaking, but he, just sitting in a chair, he violently shook from side to side. There are times he wasn't physically able to speak. It was challenging for him. He struggled, his mind was clear. He knew what he wanted to say. It was very hard for him to get the words out. I played a video of him speaking, of what I saw. That was actually a pretty clear video, and it looked like a day when he was doing better. And my Talmidim were watching it. They said, Rebbe, it's hard for us to watch. It's painful to watch. And it was something that you saw he lived with. He struggled with this disease of Parkinson's, which affected his nerves so greatly. But he kept on doing, to the best of his ability, what he was doing. I remember one time, maybe it happened two times, on these Friday Shirim, which are, he gave inside his house, this Chumashir Shmuz on the Parsha, and a lot of outsiders would come. It wasn't only Talmidim and the mayor. And you'd probably get 100 people packed into his dining room. I remember one week, he walked into the room, he sat down. I believe he tried to give the share. He walked in there. He wasn't able, he didn't have the strength. I remember him politely telling us, unfortunately he doesn't have the strength, he's not able to do it. He asked us if we could go please learn 15 minutes of Musar in the yeshiva instead of the share. I remember it was like such a sad thing. Here we all came, and we quietly, everyone left. And he went next door. He lived at that point in his life across the street from the yeshiva. And we all went to learn Musar because the Rosh Yeshiva wasn't up to speaking. Very sad, situation. But at the same time, it might have been sad to watch, but it was tremendously inspiring to watch. This person who was stricken so much with Parkinson's, there are stories of him learning with chavrusas. He wasn't able to do it normally. He would lay down. He had a couch right next to his table in his dining room. He would lay down on the couch and learn like that to best be able to learn in the situation he was in. So the topic I would like to talk about today, Zecher Nishmaso, of Nosson Tzvi, of Eliyahu Meir, is how far does a person have to go to perform mitzvahs? How far? A person who's stricken with pain, whether that pain is from a current illness or from a protracted, longer medical situation the person's in, how much pain must one put oneself through to perform a mitzvah? Tell you one story I remember seeing in particular for a mitzvah. I was by Rav Nosson Tzvi, Sukkos Tavshin Nun Ches, 25 years ago. And he was sitting in a sukkah, there was a whole crowd of people there. Now it's time for mincha. So his family, I'll meet him there, saying, Rebbe, we'll make a minyan over here in the sukkah. You look at the Mishabura. Mishabura talks about Hilcha Sukkah, that the person could daven in a sukkah. Sukkah is a place you're supposed to spend your time with. So providing that the sukkah is a place you could learn, you should learn in the sukkah. Providing the sukkah is a comfortable place to daven, you could daven in the sukkah. So definitely it's Sadan Halacha, you could daven in the sukkah. You compound that with the element that Rav Nosson Tzvi, even to walk from his house, basically across the street, maneuver, it was 100 feet, a few hundred feet. It was a big deal for him. It was hard for him. So if I was Rav Nosson Tzvi, of course, I'll daven right there in my sukkah. But I watched, that's not what he did. He said, like, daven b'kviyah is normally in yeshiva. I want to go to yeshiva. Just last night I saw, the years before when he was first stricken with Parkinson's, he lived quite a distance, maybe 10, 15 minutes from the yeshiva. And with his condition, it took much longer. But he insisted, tried it, best of his ability. He never opted out with excuses. It's hard for me, so I'll just do the easier option. I'll daven by the local shul. I'll daven in my sukkah. He struggled and made it to yeshiva. So the shaila I'd like to pose, is that halacha? Or is that lefnei mishuras hadin? How far does the halacha go in requiring us to perform mitzvos when we're in pain, when we're in a challenging situation. That's the topic that I'd like to talk about today. And I'll give a little disclaimer, is you'd think this is a pretty relevant shiloh, unfortunately, right? Whether we're talking in an individual situation, a guy wakes up in the morning, has a pounding headache, or, as we said, a longer illness. Well, unfortunately, these things come up. And doesn't seem it's a clear-cut topic that is clearly addressed in the poskim. I found, really, a lot of the share is based on, I found a piece from Rav Scheinberg. He published a sefer in Mishmeres Chaim, Chelek Dalet, in the back of it, and has psukim that Rav Scheinberg published in different periodicals, like Aguda puts out Amat Torah, or Shabbos, all different contrasim. Rav Scheinberg would contribute articles. This is one of the articles he contributed. So, comes from Rav Scheinberg himself. But outside of this, I didn't find really too many poskim that directly address this, and we'll see. There are some that he pulled up. Now, the Pashup shot, the first thing, when you talk about a person who has a challenge, who's sick, who's in pain, the first concept you think in halacha in these scenarios is the idea of onus rachmana patra. Right? Torah doesn't expect from us more than what we can do. So there's a concept of onus rachmana patra. If you're in a situation which is beyond what you can do, you're exempt. For sure. But what constitutes more than you can do? Let's say a person could do it, but he'd be in pain. Let's say a person could do it, but he'll be in a lot of pain. Let's say a person will do a mitzvah, he won't just be in pain, he'll be sick after doing that mitzvah. Do we say in such a scenario, onus rachmana patre, you don't have to do the mitzvah? Or do we say, no, you should do the mitzvah, and look, this is what's going to happen. You know, people run marathons. I'm sure after a marathon, your body's aching for a few days. People play tackle football. People involve themselves in many pursuits. And, you know, there are side effects, collateral damage. So how far does one have to go for a mitzvah? So the first Mar Makom on your sheets is a Gemara in Nedarim. There's a similar Gemara in Yerushalmi, in Psachim, in Arvei Psachim. The Gemara says like this. Memtesim abeis. Amurahim atrenisa Rabbi Yehuda. This one chash of a lady said to Rabbi Yehuda, Moi v'roi? Rashi over there in Nedarim, or the Rishon named Rashi there in Nedarim, says, Ata talmud ba'ahara, you're a chash of a talmud chacham, you're a posek. V'atar shikr, m'nei yishay yipanat tzuhuvim kol hashah. She accused him of being a drunk. Because his face would turn colors. His face was always flushed. It looked like he was drinking. So at one point, this lady said to him, Rav, are you always drinking?
A red nose.
Yeah? Rabbi Rudolph. So, Amar la hamnusa biyade, that yisasa, you should know, itamina el kiddush v'avdalisa of arbakosi de pescha. All I need to drink is just the basic Kiddush and Avdallah, Arba Kosos, V'chagurit Siri, Mena Pesach HaTzeres. You know what? My face, when all I do is I drink the bare minimum. Kiddush, Havdalah, Arba Kosos. But I have such a reaction from drinking that wine on Pesach. I am sick from Pesach until Shavuos. I guess he really counted the Omer, this guy, this Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says that he was in such pain, but that was the side effects that wine had on him. Now, just from reading the Gemara itself, sounds like this Rabbi Yehuda. Now, obviously, if he had, I'm sure, if he had some other means of, low alcohol wine that he Rashi could figure light. Out how Rashi light, right? How to do it? He do it, but we know, those days they didn't necessarily have these things. They just had the strong manashevitz, right? Back in the times of the Gemara. Right? It definitely looks like that was the wine they had in the times of the Gemara. Right? And Malaga, right? So, Lamaiso is even stronger, you say? Fine. So, Rabbi Yehuda was literally sick from drinking the Dalakosos. But that didn't stop him. He did it. He drank the Dalakosos, and he took with it. He swallowed the bitter pill that, okay, he's going to be knocked out from Shavuos to Pesach. But that's what he did. It's interesting. So he goes, tell me, Rabbi, so you find the Gemara, a Bavli, tell me there's a similar story in Yerushalmi, fine. There are lots of stories in the Gemara. It doesn't mean everything's halacha l'maisa. Yeah, good point. Until you see a Bir Hagola on the side of the Shulchan Aruch. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, Hilchas Pesach, Simen Tov Ayin Beis, Sif Yud. The Mechaber writes, Mi sheina shosa yayin meneshim aziko. Also, no. Someone who normally doesn't drink wine because it's mazikim, or he's a picky. Where's my picky eaters? Right? He's picky. He doesn't like it. Sarich litchol kasasmo velishtos lakayim mitzas arbakosos. He has to push himself to drink it. Makayim arbakosos. Interesting. The first part of the Mechaber says we're talking about somebody who doesn't drink it because it's mazikim. First, we talk about that. Look, during the regular year, and the Shabur brings it down Lamed Vav, during the regular point of the year, you have someone else be motzei him with Kiddush. If you really have a problem drinking wine, right? So first of all, with the Kiddush, many people can say you just use grape juice. Well, okay, even that too, you know, a big allergy. Okay, so have someone else be motzei you, that's fine. Dalakosis, you're stuck. You can't have someone be motzei you dalakosis. That you have to do yourself. The mitzvah of Dalakosos. So the Mechaber is writing that even in the rest of the year, you don't drink wine, bothers you, but sarach lichot asma lishtos, the kind of mitzvah of Dalakosos. You have to force yourself, you have to push yourself to drink it for Arbakosos. What's the source of the Beis Yosef, of this Mechaber? So the Bir HaGola says, it's the Gemara I quoted you in the Darim. It's not just Rabbi Yehuda, took one for the team. Yehuda was a machmer, and he went and he drank wine on Pesach, even though he was sick till Shavuos. Okay, we could get into, is the Gemara exaggerating? It's not just the loss in the Bava. Yerushalmi says the same thing. People get sick. They got sick for a long time. Yeah. But we see from the Mechaber, from the Beis Yosef, that this is considered halacha, this is chiyuv. There's a chiyuv to drink the dalakosos, even if it's going to make you sick. Yes?
Are we making an assumption that there is a halacha difference between wine and grape juice?
Yeah, so I didn't want to get into that. The burger's asking, are we making an assumption, difference between wine and grape juice? For sure, for the dalakosos, it's a bigger shiloh. So, ideally, for the Dalakosis, one should have wine, maybe a mixture of wine and grape juice. But yeah, I don't want to get into that whole parsha. Okay. For Shabbos, it's a little easier with Kiddush that one could have grape juice. But for sure, come Lel Seder, you need the mitzvah of Dalakosis. Pashtus that needs to be fulfilled with wine. Someone who's sick from wine, buy matzah, you can't eat wheat. Nowadays, you have no problem. Get your oats, get your spelt. Okay, it might cost, you know, a small fortune. And good luck finding a shalem. But l'maisa, right, that you could save someone else make the motzi, and you have your piecemeal. But when it comes to dalakosos, for the most part, there's no wiggle room. You got to drink wine, ideally. And so someone's sick, Machaber's writing, still got to do it. There's a very important Mishnah Berurah, though. The Mishnah Berurah right here, first Mishnah Berurah, Laman Hay, Neshama Ziko, Zok the Mishnah Berurah, Ratzalomer, Shemitsar Bishtia. We're talking about a case where the language the Machaber uses is it damages it. So the Chofetz Chaim wants to give a translation. What does he mean by hurting him, damaging him? So this is the Chofetz Chaim saying, this is why I understand the Machaber. Ratzalomer, he means to say, Shemitsar Bishtia also, it's paining him by drinking it. The Kori Birosh Bizan, he has a headache. Like the Gemara talked about. Major headache, a migraine. The Ein Bechlal Zeh Kishayipol Mishkav Mizeh. We're not talking about a case where he's going to be so sick, knock him out, he has to lie down in bed. We're not talking about that. That's not included. So Chofetz Chaim already is being mekel. That which we say, you know, you gotta grit it, sit back, take the shot, drink it. That's only if it's gonna give you a headache, a painful headache. But if it's gonna knock you out, nafal mishkov, that the Chofetz Chaim says not included. Okay? So face value. Okay? That means the degree of pain, if one might interpret this Mishnah Berurah, the degree of pain that one is obligated to do mitzvahs, look, is even with a headache, might be a new shot or drush. The Chazal say, chash perosho, a person has a headache, what should he do? Yasi b'tora. It's like the last thing a Talmud wants to hear when he tells his Rebbe. Rebbe, I have a headache. So what does Rebbe say? Gemara says, go learn. So the Pashup Shat in the Gemara is somehow learning Torah eases your headache. But according to the way we're understanding it now, right? You have a headache, you know what the Rebbe tells you? Go learn. It's not a p'tur. Here's Rabbi Becker, right up your alley. Next time a Talmud tells you he has a headache, he can't learn, quote him, it's Mefirisha Halacha Shulchan Aruch, that you have to do a mitzvah even if you get a big headache. Right? It says by dalakosos, you have to drink the dalakosos despite the fact of a big headache. Talks about a merayim that got sick from Pesach to Shavuos. You got to do it. Yeah, yeah. Now, but beyond that, a person gets knocked out, he'll fall asleep. The simple reading of the Mishnah Berurah, one might conclude, oh, that far I don't have to go. Let's read the Shaar Tzion. Shaar Tzion are the Chofetz Chaim's footnotes on his Mishnah Berurah. Most of the time, it's just showing you who the source is. But once in a while, he throws in a nice line or two. So look at the Lashon he writes on Nun Beis. He says, if you fall asleep, that's not what the Machaber is talking about. He writes, Kein Nira Li, Pashut. Seems to me I'm the source for such a halacha. I think it's Pashut. The Ein Zed Derech Heiris. You know why when you fall asleep, when you're knocked out to the degree you have to lay down, that you're putter from drinking dalakosos? Because part of dalakosos is the mitzvah of Heiris, freedom. I'm drinking like a king. So when a person is knocked out, kings don't get knocked out. I mean, at least they shouldn't. Right, they knock other people out. Right. But a king, that's not derech eros. That's not living it up. And that's why your putter, you don't have to drink it to the degree that you get knocked out. But comes Rav Scheinberg with a beautiful deal. That is only applicable by Dalet Kosos, where there's a mitzvah of cheres. But it's mashma for any other mitzvah which doesn't have some requirement of cheres. The mitzvah would supersede a person even getting sick from it. Let me say that one again. Ouch. Rav Scheinberg wants to make a deal. He says, the Chavetz Chaim went and chopped up this halacha of the Mechaber. The Mechaber is only talking about a headache, but he's not talking about when you go to sleep, knocking you out that you have to lay down. Where did the Chavetz Chaim get this split? He made it up himself, he says. Because when you get knocked out, you have to lay down, that's not derech cheres. And the mitzvah Dalet Kosos needs cheres. Okay, but every other mitzvah, right? There's no mitzvah when you learn Torah that it has to be done the cheres. In laying in your bed, it's not cheres. Not true. The mitzvah applies even when a person's knocked out. Just hits me as I say this over. I just saw a beautiful story. Just nifter, I believe a week or two ago, this longtime principal of Yeshiva Flapush, Rabbi David Eliyahu. So I knew the family. He has his daughter, right, his daughter is the famous professor, Rosenzweig, no, his wife, Yaffa Eliyahu, was a big Holocaust professor. His daughter, one son of is the Rosh Hashiva in YU, so by Rosenzweig, his daughter is also, I think, a professor. Once learned with the son, tutored him, learned with him. But there's a story. He grew up in Eretz Yisrael, and he basically visited the Chazon Ish right when he came off the boat. Chazon Ish at that time was living in a hut in Bnei Brak. And he came into the Chazon Ish. He was a 14-year-old kid, this Rabbi Eliyahu. And the Chazon Ish was literally lying on his bed, cot, whatever he had, learning. And he never saw anything like this in his life. Like, he was knocked out. Like, he had like some discussion with him, like, you know, you're still learning even though you're so tired. He says, yeah, and that's what you have to do. He saw the Chazon Ish. He said that image left him for a lifetime. The Chazon Ish, it wasn't derech eros. Chazon Ish's whole life wasn't derech eros. He lived in a hut at that time in Bnei Brak. But he learned Torah. Only by Dalet Kosos you need the cheres, but it sounds like if Scheinberg wants to be medayik, that even if a person would make himself get sick through doing this mitzvah, beyond the headache, be knocked out, still have to do the mitzvah. Okay, don't stop here. Scheinberg will qualify it a little bit more in a moment. But that's what seemingly emerges from this makar from the Chavetz Chaim here in the Mishnah Berurah. Now, Rav Scheinberg, a very interesting piece. He says he probably realized if this is his the end of his thesis, people are going to come after him. Rabbi, gosh, you're making us do mitzvahs even when we get sick. You know, everyone's going to try to knock off its proof. So he, you know, like a good lawyer, right? You prepare for what the other side is going to try to say against you, right? That's what they train us to do over here in Rebbe school too. You have to figure out what the Talmud's going to say and figure out how to come back. Right, Menachem? Always trying to think one step ahead. So if Scheinberg was afraid someone's going to come back and say, you know what, maybe my proof that I'm bringing here is limited to Dalet Kosos. Maybe the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos is more special than any other mitzvah. And that's why that mitzvah you got to do to the fullest even if it knocks you out, even if you get sick. But any other mitzvah, you don't. Why would Dalet Kozos be such a big mitzvah? Look, you know, Zecher and Tzitzis Mitzrayim, come on. We have lots of mitzvahs for sure, Zecher and Tzitzis Mitzrayim. Why would Dalet Kozos be such a big mitzvah that maybe we'd have a higher standard for how far we have to do the mitzvah? So he brings the idea, which really Mishnah Berurah himself talks about in other spots, is the concept of Persume Nisa, right? It's Bar Cheshvan, hopefully, right, soon, it's Kislev, Chanukah. We know of Persume Nisa by Chanukah. We know Persume Nisa exists also by Purim. But Persume Nisa also exists by Dalet Kozos. Dalet Kozos is also a din of Persume Nisa. If I remember correctly, he once gave a share on those three topics. Persume Nisa by Chanukah, Purim, and Pesach. So one might argue that to do this wonderful mitzvah of Persume Nisa, so there a person has to do it to the extent of even getting sick. But any other mitzvah, davening in the morning, davening, Kriya Shema, tefillin, all these things, a person's really sick, a person really going to get sick from doing it, you don't have to do it.
There are only two mitzvahs for which you have to sell the shirt off your back.
Right. Very good point. Right? Mr. Meirov is bringing a beautiful raya that we find by mitzvahs of Persume Nisa. Right? Dalet Kozos is one of the things, yeah. To get Dalet Kozos, you know, you should sell the shirt off your back. Now, practically, we try to have communal funds available for people that really can't afford, and we want people keeping the shirt on their back. We have communal funds to make sure people can keep shirts on their back, hopefully. But Lamaisa, this idea of Persume Nisa being more of an obligation to stretch yourself thin to do it, yeah, that maybe that's what the Machaber is saying. So what's your raya to every other case? So Rav Scheinberg found the Bir Halacha in Simon Tuf Reish Nun Vav. The Bir Halacha seems to expand these halachas of how far you have to go for the mitzvah of Dalet Kozos. He stretches it to other mitzvahs too. If you look over there, he brings the Agav Oripol, B'mashay Koshali, B'mashay Tiku, Sefer Olas Tomid, El Yeraba, Raya Mishalmi, She'im Achayiv Lachzor, P'sog, Nei Liknos Tefil, Nekodomeh, Shar Mitzvos. Right? We're talking about similar idea. How far does a person have to go? Do you have to go begging door to door to purchase tefillin? Lo Kaimolon, Dal Nir Chanukah, V'dal Kozot, Sarach Lishol, P'sachim, We hold that by Ner Chanukah, by Dalet Kozos, a person has to knock on doors, as was mentioned before. Avshim Rak Mitzvahs Drabanan. Those are only rabbinic mitzvahs. The Koshkin bin Yenenu. Vafilu im Tomar, the Mishim Persumi Nisa Tiknu, Rabbanan Kane. And even if you're going to say, you know what, Rabbi? You're trying to prove me by tefillin, you should sell the shirt off your back. If you don't have that, knock on the doors to buy tefillin. Where are you proving it? You're proving from Dalet Kozos and Chanukah. Well, maybe Persume Nisa is different. The svara that we just mentioned before. Maybe that's where you have to go so far for Persume Nisa. He says, Mayana ba'ad kaimol on la'el debener Shabbos shalom psachim v'lkech shemen u'madlik aner shezeh b'chal onet Shabbos hu. Lohanik Shabbos, Rak Mitzvah, Sasemi, Divrei Kabbalah. Tefillin V'shover, Chiyagavna, Akol Mitzvah, Seishal Torah. They found Rabbi Yaakov Emden, Asas Kasha, and Yenim of the Kasha. But what do you see from the Chafetz Chaim's perspective? You can't say the Svara here by the Halacha of how far monetarily you have to spend to do a mitzvah. You can't limit it to only Ner Chanukah and only Dalet Kozos because Persume Nisa. No, it expands beyond that. So if Scharnberg's saying, just like when it comes to financially how far a person has to go, it's Mistaver, the Sora Persume Nisa would be the same thing when it comes to how far physically a person has to go to perform a mitzvah. And don't view it as something special because of Pursumi Nisa. Not true. Here the Chofetz Chaim is saying it would apply to any mitzvah. So that would bring us right back to his source, to his proof, that there would be no limitation of even the person in Chas V'Shalom getting sick by doing a mitzvah. That shouldn't stop a person. A headache shouldn't stop a person. And even Nafal and Mishkav, a person totally gets sick. The only reason by Dalet Kosos it stops is because it's not Derech Eiros. You're not being a king, you know, being sick and drinking wine. But for any other mitzvah, look, the Chazon Ish is laying there to learn Torah. Person that could do, sounds like a person should do as much as he can. Even Chas V'Shalom person is going to get sick. Now, I should definitely clarify. Okay, so far, this is the basic source. This Gemara Nedarim, this Shulchan Aruch, the basic earlier sources in the Mishnah Berurah for how far a person has to go for a mitzvah. Now, of course, you must speak out. If Chas V'Shalom, it's a sakana, a person is going to put himself in a situation where it's sakana stafashos. His mama, you know, he's going to be deathly sick by such a thing. Poshet, a person doesn't do that. Poshet, if a person would do that, that would be an avera, be a mitzvah baba avera, be even worse, it wouldn't be a mitzvah. That's poshet. If we're talking about a person, chas v'shalom, getting deathly ill from such a thing, we're not talking about poshet. Now, Rav Scheinberg has another qualification. She goes through this whole piece, and he ends up saying he thinks it's the correct achra, psak. He says there's another level it gets split. Even if you're going to say you're chayiv, even when the person makes himself sick, but there's two ways of making yourself sick. You make yourself sick, and okay, you know, you rest up the next day, and you'll be back to normal. Take some, you know, some Tylenol or some aspirin, whatever you need, and you get back, you bounce back. That might be included for how far a person has to go to do a mitzvah. But if it'll have lingering long-term effects, as Scheinberg says, yeah, that's pasha. It doesn't have to be sakanas lefashas. Anything with a lingering long-term effect that a person doesn't have to do. You know, I won't name the name at the moment, but there was a story of a gadol. I assume he didn't know about it when he was doing it, but he was learning and the light went out, you know, and he sat there, you know, learning despite the fact there's no, you know, clear way of seeing it. And the story is that this person lost eyesight over that. He did this over time and it took away from his eyesight. So had the person known that was the situation beforehand, we'd see, Scheinberg would say that that's beyond the scope of a mitzvah. You have a long-term lingering effect that you shouldn't do. But something more short-term, that Rav Scheinberg would say, look, you know, sometimes there's a price to pay for doing a mitzvah. We said before, there's a price to pay, you run a marathon, there's a price to pay, you know? It hits me the story now also. I assume a lot of people heard that beautiful story. You know, there was a boy in the summer, I was actually in New York that day, but a kid that got lost, somehow his camp went near the Belt Parkway in Brooklyn, went on a trip. The kid didn't get back on the bus. He came back to camp without the kid. And they made a major search. And they found them by the marshes, by the water, going out to the Atlantic Ocean. After hours and hours, it was pouring rain, it ended up. And the person who found them was a Zaidi. It was a guy who was, could have hit retirement age. And he said, if it was my grandson, I'd want to go. I remember him talking about the fact, you know, he was searching for hours. And it came to a point where he said, you know, I have to be worried about my health. He felt he gave it his all. So we worried about my health. He's turning back. As he was turning back, he came across, he heard a kid say, you know, Tati. And this, you know, of all the, literally hundreds upon hundreds of people looking for it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu worked out. Who's the one who found him? Some Zaidi. You know, trying his best to do what he can. So, Lamaisa, we do see this concept, this idea. A person could try to do as much as they can. You know, I assume in a situation like that, you extend yourself for hours. You know, it's not your normal exercise routine. It's beyond that. You can be knocked out the next day, next couple of days. But Lamaisa, that Rav Scheinberg would say, that's an acceptable price to pay for a mitzvah.
Is Rav Scheinberg saying, when he says putter, is he saying putter and mutter or putter and usser?
Yeah, good question. There is a situation where a person has a lingering health effect. I think in that case, Rav Scheinberg would say, you should not do it. And in fact, one of the halachas I have down here, I put down Rav Scheinberg's psukim. Firstly, he says, they write it out. This is a Talmud writing over the psukim emerging from the tshuva that he produced. He says, a person has to put himself even to the extent of being sick or tzar gadol to mekayem a mitzvah. And, but he does qualify two things. If a person is going to have, like I said, a lingering health ailment, we say no in such a situation. You do not do the mitzvah in such a scenario. And then he says also, what happens if me doing this mitzvah now, I won't be able to do multiple other mitzvahs. Now, of course, there's a concept. You're searching for a kid. So you also be mitzvah, pater my mitzvah, you have to daven. You're a tzala man at this point. You're pater from doing other mitzvahs. What he means is because I'm going to be sick and I'm be knocked out from doing other mitzvahs. So then we say it's mutu, that you should move out to one mitzvah to be able to perform many other mitzvahs. So the person knows he's really going to be knocked out and won't be able to do other things. Okay, that's also a cheshbon Rav Scheinberg says. I'll tell you one other interesting psak was originally asked. We're talking for the most part today about physical ailments. What about mental ailments? And I came across an amazing psak. It's recorded in Halicha Shlomo of Shlomo Zalman. Listen to his perspective, his knowledge, understanding of people. And I always love when I give a share, anytime I mention of Shlomo Zalman, we miss him. But the people that knew of Shlomo Zalman would understand his sensitivity. That, I'm thinking of Michael, but Rav Shlomo Zalman was once asked by a person, his doctors gave him orders, you could only leave your house one time a day. Doesn't say for what exactly his ailment was, but it was something serious enough, he was confined to his house. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't contagious, but he could only leave his house one time a day. So the question he posed to Rav Shlomo Zalman is, what should I leave my house to do? So the simple answer, say, to go to Shul Daven with a minyan. Listen to what Shlomo Zalman told him. Now, I think it's assuming the shul that you daven for a minyan is a quiet shul. So you'll see in a second why. Shlomo Zalman said he should go to work. You can only leave your house once a day. You should go to work. And you need the money. That wasn't this far. Shlomo Zalman said, because you're stuck in your house, I assume the situation must have been, he didn't really see people in his house. For your mental health, it's good to go to work, get back to normal, see people, talk to people. It's good for that. I guess, Louis Tsuri, you could have some social interactions in Shul too, and Davin, maybe you should go to Shul. But Shlomo Zalman was talking about balancing, you know, a certain normalcy. Shlomo Zalman was ready to forgo the person. He says, you're sick. The doctor says you can't leave your house. You can't leave your house. Oh, you won't be able to daven with a minyan. Okay, don't daven with a minyan. But go work. Fascinating. Suck.
See the effects of that with COVID.
Yeah. Very good point. Right? If Shlomo Zalman was ahead of his times, as Harvey's pointing out, you know, in COVID, people were cooped up. not able to go, you know, that hurt people mentally. And you saw people decline, people get older, people lose out from life if not being involved in it.
It was a lot worse than that. We saw people passing away, particularly people in their 20s and 30s.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't have social interaction.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, if anything, you're right. You know, just being on social media for the young generation is not good either. Now, I'd just like to conclude with the story I just heard about the Nelson Sphere. I've never heard before. And some of the doctors maybe will be able to understand this from, there is, Nelson Tzvi had doctors in Eretz Yisrael that were dealing with his Parkinson's disease. But he also saw doctors in America. He would come to America a lot to fundraise. In fact, it's estimated in his lifetime, Shlomo Zalman, Nelson Tzvi raised $500 million for the Meir Yeshiva. He was a tremendous fundraiser. And he came a lot to America to fundraise. I see doctors there, experts in Parkinson's. There's a firm Jew who was stricken with Parkinson's. And he was commenting to his doctor, you know, it's so disheartening, this idea. He says, I'm not able to daven. I'm not able to learn. My whole life is so affected by Parkinson's. Listen to what the doctor told him. And this story was sent over by the person at Nelson Tzvi's shiva. The person told him, doctor told him, he says, you know what? Okay, HIPAA violations. Right? You know, Nelson Tzvi is also my patient. And I can tell you, his case of Parkinson's is 10 times worse than yours is. Person was blown away. With his condition, he felt he couldn't do anything. But Nelson Tzvi had it 10 times worse. The doctor told him he was able to do so much. There's a concept, it's Gemara and Yuma. I'll close with this. Gemara says, Hillel Mechayivis Aniyim. Hillel, who was so poor, in the case of Florida, it's hard to relate to, but right, a snowy day, couldn't get into the base matter. She goes up to the roof. Let's try to hear. Try to listen. And, you know, that's how far Hillel went to learn Torah. Hillel Mechayiv Esaniyim. My Rebbe, Rebbe Hanach Leibowitz, asked, what do you mean Hillel Mechayiv Esaniyim? Manavshach. If Aniyim are able to do, to learn Torah, do mitzvahs despite their poverty, then of course they have to learn. They have to do mitzvahs. If they're not able to learn because of their poverty, because of their... So then they're potter. What do you mean Hillel Mechayiv Esaniyim? What does Hillel have to do with their personal situation? If they're able to do it, they have to do it. If they're not able to do it, they're potter. Shiva explained that Hillel Mechayiv Esaniyim means when you see a person like Hillel, who despite his situation was able to accomplish so much, that gives you a certain inspiration, it gives you a certain ideal that will could give a person more kochos than he thought he had beforehand. I didn't think I was able to do such a thing. When I see someone like Hillel, Hillel Mechayiv Esaniyim. Now an Ani has a new perspective, how far I could go to do a mitzvah. I think the same thing applies to Rav Nosson Tzvi. This halacha, this concept, onus rachmana patre, of course we're exempt in situations where it's too hard, it's beyond their capacities. But when you hear of a person who, despite being so stricken with Parkinson's, did so much, accomplished so much, it's mechayiv us. The Zaidi who goes searching for the lost kid in Brooklyn, it's mechayiv us. Whatever we can do to the best of our abilities, a mitzvah is worth it. And that demonstration is a beautiful demonstration of Kiddush Hashem, not just for ourselves, but really for anyone else watching, and also observing. You know, it is quite inspiring. And yes, that's one other thing that we lost out during COVID. You know, it's good for the younger generation to see an older generation involved in coming to shul and davening and doing mitzvahs, because it's inspiring for us all. As Hashem, we shall all have the health to do mitzvos, b'shalva, simcha, but to realize how far the chiyuv to perform a mitzvah, even with mesiras nefesh, goes. Thank you very much for listening, and have a wonderful week.